Peter Bowman is insert. Peter, what's the scene?
We've just seen what looks like an absolutely horrendous friendly fire incident. It looks as though a couple of mortars dropped where a whole bunch of government fighters were bunched together a bit, you know, near the front line on, I guess, what you could call the southern front, where the Misratan forces are pushing forward from. I've just spoken to someone I've run into a few times, a Libyan who used to live in Wellingarden City, who speaks English and has kind of seemed quite knowledgeable, who was close to the mortar team, and he said, look, it was a mistake. You know, the mortar tube was firing almost directly upwards, and we've just, you know, dropped these on top of our own guys. I saw the casualties come back. I mean, you know, some quite serious injuries. I mean, you know, punctured chest, serious head injuries. I saw a guy who'd been hit through the neck with shrapnel. I mean, it was almost the number of casualties that came up to where we were almost too many for the number of medics to cope with. And actually, our own driver and translator, who were both medical students who worked in the ICU during the siege of Misrata, you know, both ended up having to dive in there and start treating some of these casualties.
How many people, is there an estimate at all that got killed?
I saw around 20 injuries. Other people are talking of maybe half as many again. I don't know. I mean, maybe some were taken to different locations, but the ones that were taken to the, you know, there's the ambulances have been gathering on a big crossroads near where I am at the moment, where they've laid out some blankets and been treating people sort of in the open. The number I saw come through that before the ambulances took them away was about 20. I mean, I think what this demonstrates is the real problem that's developing for the government forces, which is that despite the pocket being really quite small in geographical terms, you now have two forces, the fighters from Benghazi, who are on the east and who are advancing up the coast road in the city, and the Misratan forces, who are pushing forward from the south, in very close proximity. You also have people here who have mortars, which they don't know how to fire properly. I mean, in a whole week here, I've only seen one group of one mortar team actually take a bearing on a target. And 2 days ago, you know, just as another illustration, a tank shell landed in front of our car as we were driving towards the city centre. I mean, everyone is so close together that it's becoming, you know, the amount of fratricidal incidents, you know, just seems to be escalating. I'm told now that the deaths from on the Benghazi unit that we met this morning were actually caused by Misrata fighters in a crossfire. And my own personal experience is that you know when the guys are fighting at the front, you just have things coming from every single direction, and the risk of death comes as much from people firing from behind you, from to the right of you, to the left of you, as it does from the Gaddafi forces in front.
Earlier you were talking about a plan to try to minimise the incidence of friendly fire. Is this a case of just lack of communication?
Well, the communications are incredibly poor. Despite the fact that the Benghazi forces appear to have pulled back, allow the Misratans to fire on this southern front and minimise the risk of friendly fire, you know, you have this secondary risk of people who don't really know how to use their weapons, which I have to say is an awful lot of the fighters here. I mean, just to give you an example, 2 days ago I walked from Green Square in Surrey up to one of the frontline positions, and in the space of, I think, a 10-15 minute walk, I saw 3 different weapons accidents. And one guy nearly blew his foot off with an AK, which wasn't on safety. Someone, 2 other people fired their weapons by accident in the air. I mean, it is really, really frightening. I mean, there are some fighters who are very experienced, who seem to know what to do with their weapons, who know where their safeties are, but you see grenades drop, mortars drop. And then when it comes to the big stuff, it's just being fired into people. And in fact, 2 people have said to us today, you know, one guy said, you know, and using some profanity, you know, we're just killing each other here. You know, this is the biggest problem at the moment. We're not coordinating. You know, we're killing each other.
And mistakes like this presumably underline why it's taking so long to take cert.
It is. I mean, you know, it's a difficult job. I mean, you know, there are people in there who are well dug in, who are very experienced, who are communicating with each other, they've got basic infantry training. You know, they know who's to the right of them, and who's to the left of them, and who's behind them. And when they're firing out, you know, they are not firing into the backs of their comrades. I mean, one of the issues here is that you have two different groups of fighters. You have the guys who stay in their katibas, their units, and who fight all the time, and who are generally quite experienced. They're pretty serious fighters. They're not just kind of weekend warriors. But, you know, you then have another group of people who come down in a sort of gun truck that they've acquired for a couple of days fighting. I mean, and, you know, I think I was describing this to you yesterday. I was on a corner a couple of days ago, and a group of very keen sort of middle-aged gentlemen came down and started firing their weapons from a corner while their comrades were 500 metres ahead.
While you're on, Marita's been in touch to say, to ask you that whether there's any sign of a lot of prisoners being held in CERT. Before the NTC arrived, there were all sorts of rumours that there were a lot of prisoners, including Western journalists, being held in CERT. Now that the NTC controls CERT, most of CERT, any sign of that?
I'm afraid the only evidence we have of prisoners being held here are executed captives. We're still not entirely sure who they are. Again, you know, we have a problem with numbers. You know, 2 days ago, when these executed people were found, we were told that it was 30 people. The number I'm hearing now is 42 people in four different groups that were found over towards the west of the city, roughly in the direction of the 700 houses. What seems to be shocking about this is they appear to be people from CERT who didn't want to fight with the Gaddafi fighters. That's the theory anyway at the moment. That's the theory today. They've been shot against the wall with their hands tied. A doctor I've spoken to today who saw the bodies said that the executed people had been separated. One group of them by race. One group of them was a group of dark-skinned men. Another was a group of light-skinned men. Another seemed to be a mixture of the two, but it seemed not to quite make sense. We so far have identified, we think, one of the bodies tentatively, and that was the son of a general who had gone over to the other side, and when he'd been taken. Apparently, his family was told, you know, you we'll give you back the son if you give us the father. The father was not produced, obviously, and they shot the son.
Okay, are they sticking to the plan you were talking about earlier of bombarding Gaddafi positions for the next couple of days?
Until this accident, I mean, they've been shelling fairly assiduously. I mean, before this 25 incident took place. A tank had moved up towards the flooded street I've been talking a lot about over the last couple of days and spent about 4 hours literally firing into buildings straight down the street. After the munitions came in, that tank has pulled back a bit and tanks are firing from somewhere else in the city now.
Okay, Peter, take care. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye.